He's got the knowledge.
Because once again, I have to come on air and talk about how right I am once again. In anything that it comes to sports.
He's got the questions.
I'm going to lose it. Are you kidding me? What are we doing here?
He's got the guess.
20th head coach in Fresno State history here, Matt. Is it hard to believe sometimes still the 20th head coach here in program history?
It's all moved really quickly here over the course of the last five, 6 weeks. But super excited to be here.
Phil Bonatti is the voice for the Central Valley sports leader. Behind the Bench starts now. Brought to you by Helena Agri.
That's right. Behind the Bench here on 1430 ESPN Fresno, the Valley's local sports leader here on 1430 ESPN. Good to be here. Good to have you back on the show here live on this Thursday, August 28th here on 1430 ESPN Fresno following San Francisco Giants baseball. Back after a day off yesterday, although I was working. I was just on assignment in some form or capacity. I'll get into that in a minute here at the top of the show. But we are here live at Fashion Furniture. Reminder, it's their 65th anniversary celebration at Fashion Furniture, where you'll find the best names like Flexsteel, Bassett, Michael Nicholas, Tempur-Pedic, Stearns & Foster, and more. Savings of up to 40% on selected items with 0% financing. Plus, every sale Fashion Furniture will make, they'll have a donation to Honor Flight. So help send the veterans to Washington, D.C., and help celebrate 65 years of Fashion Furniture as well. By the way, those special couples who are married 25, 35, 45, 55, and even 65 years of marriage will get a gift from Fashion Furniture. They've already had a bunch of those folks come through, so come on and take up that opportunity. Only in Fashion Furniture here, 65th anniversary celebration. There's nothing like it in all of California. We are here, like I said, live on the show. It is Thursday. It is around 4 o'clock here, a little 4:04 right after the hour, after the clock there. We're live here at Fashion Furniture. Like I said, we got the Me and Ed's Pizza over here. So if you want to eat some Me and Ed's Pizza, enjoy some pizza while you're here shopping. It is a good opportunity to get a little bite to eat while you're here listening to Sports Talk here for the next couple of hours. That's right. We're here from 4 to 6 p.m. Here live. Kind of a weird show, a little bit of a different show. We'll have our interview coming up with our Student Athlete of the Week. That's right. That is back, Student Athlete of the Week here. And we had our first one earlier today. We talked to Jamie Spurgeon of Clovis East football. Had a very good performance, really did a lot for his team on Friday last week for the Clovis East Timberwolves. He was the quarterback there, and you'll get to hear him and Coach George Petrosans as well talking about their season and getting ready for a big game against Kingsburg tomorrow night. So that's what Clovis East has coming up. We'll have that interview in this hour, I would say 10 minutes from now. And we'll be looking forward to that. Before I dive into any more of the show here, of course, I got our sponsors, our Lee's Air Hotline, Lee's Air Plumbing and Heating Hotline here, 559-320-1430, the way to reach our show, 559-320-1430, the way to reach the show. If you want to get in on the conversation here on our show, that's right, 559-320-1430. Lee's Air Weather Check. We're taking a look. It's going to be 96 degrees by the next hour, and that is your high for today. Much better than what it has been, although we are maybe seeing some triple digits next week, just in the low triple digits, nothing too insane or psychotic. So we're dealing with it. 95 tomorrow for those who are going to all those high school football games. I have 99 on the docket for the Bulldogs, Fresno State Bulldogs game as well. So we'll see where it all pans out. Could change over the next few days. I mean, let's be honest. We had thunder and lightning, and I did not have that on my docket or radar coming up. But we had it a couple mornings ago. So, Lee's Air, thank you for the weather sponsor there. We also have Clovis Truck Center, our sponsor here, although it's not 3 o'clock hour. Might as well give them some love here. Clovis Truck Center, formerly known as Lennox Clovis. They're the first, biggest, and still the best here in the Central Valley. And they are bigger than the Bedliners, so be sure to stop by my friends over at Clovis Truck Center. give him a little visit and say Phil Bonatti sent you over just south of the Clovis Rodeo Grounds in Old Town Clovis. So that's what we got for you. We're streaming live on YouTube, Facebook, and Twitch here. We got the camera working the iPad for now. Daniel saying, hey, what's up? giving the wave there. So for you who are watching at home, thank you. And I hope you enjoy the show on the audio side and video side as well. We got a lot to talk about, a lot to get into the show. Like I said, I'm going to recap my day with the A's in just a sec. We got Boise State playing some football right now. We'll get into some Mountain West football talk. I want to dive into it, see what we got facing week one. Of course, we know what Fresno State has with Georgia Southern, but curious to look at some of the scores from around the Mountain West and get a look at that. I'm going to have my 5 of 5, which I'm going to do my top 5 games for high school football this week. So we'll get into that maybe at the 5 o'clock hour for sure. Just talk about things that we've missed over the last couple days. And we'll get to those 2 hours and get to 6 o'clock and get you on for the rest of your evening here on 1430 ESPN. But like I said, it's going to be a good one. Producing back in the studio, my producer Jorge, who will be running the Grizzlies game tonight. He's been in a little later than usual, but he's ready to work hard and bring you the last Grizzlies baseball game of the regular season on our airwaves. That'll be a 6:35 pregame with a 6:50 first pitch Grizzlies and into the Empire. Jorge, how are we doing on this Thursday? Good to have you back.
It's Thursday. It's a good day. It's a good day. Not too hot. It's less hot than it was yesterday, so that's good.
Yeah.
Other than that, it's good.
You miss me, Jorge? Did you miss me?
No, I did not.
It was a good day to be out at the A's stadium. I know you've been curious about going to that ballpark and watching a game in some form of capacity, I bet, right? It's at least in the novelty of it, you would have to believe you were a little intrigued about going to the ballpark.
It's that car crash that you can't take your eyes off of it, you know? But, because I want to know what, I guess the Tampa Bay is doing the same thing, but I feel like in Tampa Bay, that is a little bit different. Here, mm-hmm. They wanted to go to Sacramento, I guess. They had to. I just want to feel the vibes. I just wanted to see what how it was, you know, because mm-hmm. baseball is the kind of sport that when you play it in the stadium, you know, it's different than if you play it, you know, at another park or, you know, every park is different, really.
Oh, yeah. Well, let me tell you, we got up there at a pretty reasonable hour. Actually, I had a little time to walk around the Golden One Center, which was the first time I've been up there. I don't know if you've been around the Golden One Center area either. But that was a cool little spot for us to check it out in terms of seeing what it's all about in that area. Man, they really – I feel like they've done a lot of good job down there. I want to go to a Kings game at some point. I gotta see what I can do there to go to one. But it's a really nice area, really good spot. And then, of course, you cross the bridge, you go over to the Rivercat Stadium. Now – I'm going to preface this before I say everything. I enjoyed my time, but I'm going to preface it before. It's a ridiculous situation that we're at that ballpark right now. I'm prefacing it right now before I start talking about all the things I had and enjoyed and been a part of there at the A's game as well. But on the top, it is patently absurd that this stadium is the result of some crazy decisions by this this owner and where the A's are right now. But aside from that, getting into the ballpark, watching the game, we got a chance to hang out on the field, got a chance to talk with a lot of the broadcasters for the A's, a lot of the people you listen to if you're an A's fan, if you listen on 790. Ken Korak was there. You got Steve Sachs, who was there. We got a chance to chat with him. Even Johnny Dosko, getting a chance to chat with him. If people in Fresno know Johnny Dosko pretty well, if you know from previous years with the Grizzlies, all those radio guys, and even Chris Carey, the young guy as well, who was able to get a chat with him. He's obviously the son of Chip Carey, who's the Cardinals broadcaster. And as many of you hear the name Carey, and that's Harry Carey. So people know who Harry Carey is. But yeah, it was a good evening. We got a chance to hang out on the field. One of the big things about last night's game, yes, I'm recapping A's baseball at the top of a show here at 4 o'clock. Yes, I'm doing it, but I've just got to talk about this one moment. Jorge, I got a chance to meet a couple of players because the broadcasters were chatting with them. So we got a chance to meet Max Muncy, not the Dodgers Max Muncy, but you know the young Muncy for the A's. I also got a chance to shake hands and say what's up to Zach Geloff, going into last night's game, I looked at it, batting 083, not great in terms of the batting average situation for him. Has been playing in the minors for a little bit. First pitch he sees in last night's game, it's a two-run homer. I'm convinced I am the good luck charm for Zach Geloff in getting that home run last night. But aside from that, the A's played very good baseball. Worked a lot of full counts. Got Casey Mize, who is the Tigers, I would say, second best pitcher. Got him working and working a lot in the early innings. I think he only lasted 3 1/3 last night, if I do recall. But it was a really very good performance, surgical, I would say, the A's in terms of that. It looked easy. It looked really easy for the A's last night. And that completed a sweep of the Tigers and finished off beating the team that some would consider is the best team in the American League right now. And I think it's going to be an interesting wrinkle moving forward for the A's. I'm not saying they're contenders this year. They're as much as contenders as the Giants are right now. We'll get to them in a little bit later in the show. But the pieces are there for this team. I can see why I had that prediction of them making the playoffs this year if they just flat out didn't play horribly in May. They are a team that I would even consider they're playing better than some playoff teams currently in that position right now in the American League. I would say they're playing better baseball than the New York Yankees, for sure. I would say they're playing better baseball than the Seattle Mariners at this point, for sure. And clearly they're playing baseball, better baseball than the Detroit Tigers right now, in evident of them sweeping them in Sacramento. It's a good team. It's a fun team. It really is. If you didn't lose 21 of your last 22 in May, the A's would have a serious conversation about making this playoff run. The Astros are just basically giving this division away if they wanted to. And yet nobody's trying to take the bull by the horns of this American League West. So I'm not saying the A's have a chance of making the playoffs this year. Now, we could see craziness. We could see crazy. But they are playing this. They have the second best record since the All-Star break. Last I checked, the Brewers were the team that only had a better record since the All-Star break than the A's did. And it's clear and evident of why they are such an amazing team right now in terms of the way they're playing baseball. They're fun. They are worth seeing, even despite playing in, some would say, a Mickey Mouse ballpark in Sacramento. It was the novelty of seeing MLB talent playing in that kind of ballpark. It's so interesting to see it all play through. So I don't know how to make of it, but I had a good time last night, and the A's are as fun of a team that is below 500 as I've seen in quite some time, which is very ironic to the other team in the Bay. But I don't know if you got any more thoughts, Jorge, about the A's. I think I've been saying this the last month or so about the A's, but it feels like this team could certainly be capable. If you just dropped them in the postseason, they could be capable of winning a series or two.
This is when they feel like the season's too long. They should have a shorter season, so maybe can gang up on some wins and make the playoffs.
Yeah. Can we do a playoff committee? The college football playoff committee for baseball? Do we need a release? The Yankees are just not doing it for me. And I would be totally unbiased in this situation, too. I'm not just saying this because I'm a Red Sox fan and I hate the Yankees. But, look at the last body of work for the last 3 weeks. You mean to tell me that the Yankees are playing better baseball than the Sacramento A's right now? You mean to tell me that?
Maybe not, but I don't know how I feel about, like, you know, if I'm you know, one of these TV stations that has the A's instead of the Yankees in the postseason. I don't know how I feel about that.
Well, that's what it was like in the mid-2000s. Or how about Philadelphia? Is Philadelphia playing anything special right now in terms of that? I feel like the A's could certainly make in terms of that. Seattle. Seattle's just kind of like middling. The Astros are middling. I would be a proponent of that. And I know that it's getting into dangerous territory.
What you're talking about is being discussed, right? That's one of the points that was being discussed for the future.
They want a new playoffs by an arbitrary committee. Is that what you're telling me in Major League Baseball?
Not an arbitrary committee, but do away with the what are they called?
The divisions.
Yeah, divisions, and then just do the whole, you know, see who comes out on which end.
Regardless, I don't know. It'll be interesting. I don't know. I haven't heard that, but. Even if they took away the divisions, the A's would not be sniffing the playoffs per se. But they are good baseball. And if you get a chance to go to Sacramento, I and let's be fair, I sat in a section that not a lot of people would sit in. They put us in a suite, so I have that look at it. I haven't actually hung out in the concourse and sit in the stands and known what that felt like. But, you know, it was a good Wednesday night, good crowd, people were hanging. People are enjoying themselves, and I watch good baseball. Lawrence Butler had a couple of awesome plays in the field last night. He's worth the price of admission. Nick Kurtz had a fantastic line drive grab last night. Zach Gelof got up for another line drive grab. And how about their pitcher Medeiros, who last night, 7 shutout innings for the A's last night. They got this guy out of Cuba. Luis Morales, who's 2-0 right now with a 1.19 ERA. The dude's got a 98-mile-per-hour fastball, could top out to 100. He's got a changeup that could dip out at around 91 miles per hour, kind of like a circle change, more of a sinker look, but it's considered a change because he throws it with the circle change look. And the dude was hard to hit for a team that hits very well like the Detroit Tigers. So, I'm becoming sold on the A's, but it's a better luck next year situation than I guess. So, all right, Jorge, I've spent too much on the A's. Too much time. I get it. It's the A's baseball. We shouldn't be leading with the show, but I just had to. I had to today. All right, let's get to a break. When we come back, we're going to have our Student Athlete of the Week interview here next, talking Clovis East, Jamie Spurgeon, going to come on the show next here on 1430 ESPN Fresno, the Valley's local sports leader. All right, welcome back to Behind the Bench here on 1430 ESPN Fresno, the Valley's local sports leader. We have our Student Athlete of the Week starting up this week, and we have a wonderful interview that I got a chance to record it back in our studio earlier today. Clovis East had a great win over Bullard this past week. About 6 days ago, they get up against Kingsburg tomorrow. Their quarterback, Jamie Spurgeon, phenomenal game last week. Up over 260 in passing, over 100 yards rushing, 3 touchdowns total. Phenomenal performance. So he earns our Student Athlete of the Week winner for this week in terms of quarterback play. Keep those submissions coming in, though. Plenty of great ones. You're bound to have an athlete recognized there if you're bringing them in. So we love to see it. Coach George Petrosans also joins me in this interview. So here is our Student Athlete of the Week interview for this Thursday.
All right, joining me now is Coach George Petrosans and Jamie Spurgeon of Clovis East Football. Guys, appreciate you having here and being on the show, and excited to talk some football for sure. First of all, Jamie, congratulations. You're
thank
our
you,
first
thank you.
Student Athlete of the Week for ESPN here in the class of 25-26. It was a great program last year. And excited to talk about your achievements this week and everything like that. Guys, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Absolutely. So first off, Jamie, How does it feel? I know I texted Coach about the honor, and I don't know how he informed you or anything like that about it, and maybe made it a surprise or anything like that. But, Jamie, how does it feel to be a
student? Yeah, it feels great. It feels great, honestly. Been waiting for my time to play quarterback, and it just feels great to be on the show.
Absolutely. Coach, when you got the news from me, I was texting you. What was that like, and did you have anything the way you told him or anything like that, or how did it go?
Well, first off, when you told me, I was super excited for Jamie because I know how hard he's worked, and then I sent him a text immediately, just said, hey, congratulations, you're player of the week, and so that was a good moment. I like that.
Yeah, absolutely. And, of course, student athlete of the week, the student first, the athlete second. Yeah, Jamie, we know you've been good in the classroom and good in the football field as well. And talking about just that aspect of it, you were playing in a varsity program last year, and the balance of it, especially a program that was had a lot of success last year as well. Yep. What is it like? Tell me the life of being a student athlete sometimes when it gets to that level.
It can definitely be overwhelming at some times, but you just have to overcome that and just ball out on the field. It's the most important. You definitely got to take everything serious in the classroom, because without the classroom, you can't play at the next level. So mm-hmm. you just got to take care of the classroom first before you get on the field.
Coach, it goes without saying, how important it is for these guys to be focused in the classroom, be available in that opportunity, right? And, tell me about how much you harp on that importance with these guys to get on the field and play.
Well, it's always trying to harp on the small things. The big things our guys understand, but it's the little tiny details that, as our staff keep talking to the kids about, that when you bring all those small little details together, they're gonna ultimately help you lead and get you a chance to be in a game or get that win that you want. But the details are what matter.
Absolutely, and I think there's a lot of stuff to learn from it as far as managing the time and maybe it shows that you can be a good athlete when it comes to learning what you need to learn when it comes to the aspects of football. In the same sense, being sharp in the classroom could have kind of prove you have those traits per se of being able to be sharp in there, especially a quarterback, right, Coach?
Yeah, for sure. It goes back to everything that we're talking about, like work ethic. It's not just work ethic on the field. It's work ethic in the classroom. It's work ethic outside, wherever you are. The accountability, the adaptability, to being coachable as well. All these little things that we keep harping on our players, hopefully it leads them to success, and ultimately that's what we want from them.
Jamie, in that aspect, do you feel like when you focus on that kind of stuff, you feel like you're better at responding to the coaching when it comes to practices and in the game?
Absolutely, yes. But especially too, like after you get everything done, like it's just easier to come out to practice and just know that I can focus on football, and just being able to focus on football, it just makes everything much easier.
Well, let's talk about your performance that got you this honor. You had a lot of opportunities in this game against Bullard and leading to a victory. Bullard, a very good team coming into this year. Scoring three touchdowns through the air. You ran over 100 yards on the ground as well. You seem to do a lot of everything with this offense. Tell me about the first, because this was your first start at quarterback in the varsity side. You were being the backup. You had opportunities at wide receivers. So you were making your opportunity of it. So tell me about that game specifically.
Well, yeah, first of all, I couldn't have done anything without my team, first of all. O-line played great, receivers, everyone. Every single receiver got to touch the ball that night, and we were just able to do a lot of things. And honestly, I feel like we left a lot on the table, and we have a lot to improve. But we're going to get even more chemistry as the year goes on, and we're going to be even better. And I still think I personally left a lot on the table and could have even put up more, and the team is just really – we feel really good this year.
Coach, from your perspective, when you watch on the sidelines and what he was doing throughout that game, take me through what was working for Jamie in that one. First start jitters can be there for some players. Did you see that from the performance? Or?
Well, first off, as we're coming in, there's no starter coming back from last year's team. So we got a brand new offense, brand new staff, coming back. And, there were jitters all the way around. If it wasn't, our receiver might, doing something incorrect. It was an offensive lineman or, you know, a back, or everyone across the board just had a little bit of nerves, mm-hmm. you know, as that opened up. But, you know, as the game continued on, they started to settle down and they started to play like how we saw in practice, and things started to come together. And, you know, we talk about, you know, through the course of the week that, you know, that was going to be perfect. There's not going to be a game where it is just perfect. Mm-hmm. You know, there's adversity that's going to come, and it's how we deal with that adversity is going to set us up for this game and for the future moving forward.
Yep.
Jamie, you mentioned the ability that you felt like you could go to a lot of different guys. You mentioned it. I'm trying to count down real quick. I think I got 10 different guys getting receptions
yep.
in this game, and it's spreading that wealth around. Yep. What does that tell you about the trust you have with a lot of those guys, or the amount of work it puts in? Because 10 different receivers, that's a difficult task yeah, trying to get everybody integrated.
Yeah, definitely. Well, it's just like, you know, if someone goes and runs a go ball, we can still have a guy to come in and still be able to do the job. Mm-hmm. And part of that is in practice too, because, you know, not everyone gets the same amount of reps as certain guys. So it's just everyone's paying attention, everyone does the right job, then we're going to be really successful and explosive this year. So
to that point, Coach, you know, when it comes to spreading the ball around, is that what Clovis East looks like this year, is getting a lot of these players integrated? Not sure, keeping the defenses guessing exactly where the attack is going to come from.
Yeah, well, that's always kind of been the philosophy for me, mm-hmm. is that we want to be able to spread the ball around. You get, you know, different people touching the ball, they're more involved in the game, there's more effort being brought by that player, you know, and there's different roles that some people might have more balls than others, but ultimately we're a team. And we're all trying to stick together, and we're all trying to accomplish the same thing. And I think by spreading the wealth and having faith in each player that we do have on our team, then we will do that.
Yep. I want to talk about the lead up to the season, right, Jamie? For you, you getting ready for the role of quarterback. You know, you're following a really great quarterback and what Ty Miller was able to provide. And what was that like to kind of just be by his side and what he was leading and showing you going into this year, and what maybe some of the lessons were from Miller?
Yeah, Ty he's a great guy. Like he's such a good quarterback that a lot of people honestly don't even believe in him, but I personally do believe in him, like, big time. Mm-hmm. But Ty, he taught me a lot of things that I never knew at quarterback, and I was able to back him up, and that he was able to trust me and I was able to trust him, and he was able to do a lot of things that a lot of people can't do.
Was there nerves coming in this season, knowing you were like, okay, this is now my shot, this is my chance? You've been in action before,
yeah,
in some plays,
yep,
when Ty had to step out of it, but
yep.
You know, how much pressure do you feel sometimes when it comes to, like, obviously now past this first game, maybe it's gone, but was there any little bit of that element leading up to it?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, for sure. Because there's always pressure, because I do have a lot to prove this year. And our team also has a lot to prove this year. It's a revenge tour. Like, we have a lot to do this year. So,
yeah. Coach, when you were getting to know Jamie from your perspective coming into this season, what stood out to you about his demeanor and his ability, especially when you were going through some of the practices leading into the start of the season?
Well, it's funny, one of the first things that I did when I was interested in the job was I pulled up the Utah game, and Jamie was playing tight end.
Yeah.
Right? And we were kind of laughing about it on the way over here. Yeah. And, you know, I was watching him, and I knew Jamie was most likely going to be the guy coming in. And I'm watching the Utah game, and they have him at tight end, and you could tell he had no clue what he was doing at tight end. However, you know, you would also see a toughness from him at that tight end position, where he would stick his face in there and block defensive ends that were highly rated kids, mm-hmm. at their position in Utah. And so when I watched it, I went, okay, this kid's interesting, because, you know, toughness as a quarterback is a super important thing for me, because we run the quarterback so much.
Yeah.
And so he's going to take that shot, and can he get back up, right, and play that next down? So, like, watching him do that at Utah at the tight end position, I was like, okay, this kid's going to be something, you know. And, you know, he took some shots against Bullard that night too. And it was the first night that really I had seen him take a shot, because we've been protecting him in practice and scrimmages. And here he comes scrambling on the first, you know, one of the first plays, and takes a shot. I'm like, oh, Lord, You know, I didn't know how this was going to go, but, you know, he got back up and, you know, he just kept on getting back up. And, you know, it was great watching him play, how hard he played.
When Coach speaks about that and seeing the toughness from you and you being in that position of tight end and taking those hits, you know, I wonder, you know, from your perspective, just the experience of that, just experience of having to run routes for your quarterback and having to set an edge in some form or fashion and knowing that what that takes. But now you have the quarterback position to yep. have that perspective from. It's a unique one to have, I would say, in high school. How would you credit that to how you prepare as a quarterback from that experience?
Well, yeah, definitely from that experience, I was able to get feel of how it feels to play on varsity as mm-hmm. a sophomore, and that definitely overlaid into playing quarterback because I get to just be like, you know, you get hit, you just get yeah. right back up. So you just got to just get back to the next play and just flush it. If something goes wrong, then we just got to move on. So
as much as you love quarterback, do you miss it a little bit?
Missing playing tight end?
Yeah.
Nah, I mean, I like playing tight end. I had to. I got to do what I got to do for the team.
Exactly.
So I got to do what I got to do for the team. But quarterback. I love playing quarterback.
I bet. But he was willing to do it. And coach, when you see that kind of willingness to do what he needs to do, you mentioned it, him running. We had him at 16 carries last week. You know, it's good to have a guy that's just ready to go with the game plan and follow it through. From your standpoint, I would bet.
Absolutely. But, you know, just hear the words that he's saying, that he's willing to do whatever the team needs. Mm-hmm. And that's what we're trying to strive for within Clove Seas football. Is like, yep. hey, what is needed? And if my number is called, whether it's, you know, one of those 10 receivers, then it's my turn to do the job, then I do my job,
yep.
you know. And that's been what's been really cool about this program, this team, and all the players that we have on our team, is that willingness to work hard and play for each other so far.
Obviously coming off of last year, and everything's different with all the different starters and everything like that, but I think a lot of people look at it as, wow, that was such an incredible run from them. I don't know what lingering effects that kind of has going into this year as maybe some of the JV guys see them as they move into what they saw was put forward from the year previous. How much do you capture that as a coach of saying, we saw what those guys did before you, now let's continue the tradition, while you're also trying to build your own tradition as a first-year coach?
It is definitely a mixture. I mean, you're trying to bring in new ideas that, you know, you have a firm belief in. At the same time, you don't want to lose some of the things, the traditions that they had, you know, that they really enjoyed, mm-hmm. right? And so I'm not going to lie, there's been a couple of times like, ooh, I messed that one up. Hey, let's bring that tradition back.
Yeah.
But as far as the players, though, are concerned, there were a handful of players that didn't get to play because of the players that were in front of them, mm-hmm. because that team was so good, like you said. But they brought that same attitude, that mentality, yep. the guys that were playing and how that they were striving to succeed. A lot of players, Devin Woodard, Gino Capriola, Tristan Kircher, who was a starter, O'Shea Jackson. I mean, there's still O'Shea Jackson Webb, you know, Tavion Horton. All those guys were guys that, like, you know, have kind of brought that fire to that team still, yeah. and a mentality that they had last year. Mm-hmm. And it's almost kind of like, all right, we're just stepping forward and bringing our leadership now.
And Jamie, from that perspective of you as a player, when things are turning over so much, but you want to make sure you build the momentum, even though it was a disappointing end to your season last year,
yep.
for the journey of that and to make sure you build momentum out of it. I mean, a 26-7 win, that's pretty good start for where it is, but
yeah.
how do you try to integrate what you remember from a year ago into what you want to build with such a different roster, even though there's some returnees
yeah.
back?
Yeah, well, definitely we don't want to have that feeling again. And we all have a chip on our shoulder, even the kids that didn't play. And part of that, too, is like, a lot of people have been talking about our offense lately, but a lot of it too is our defense. Like, mm-hmm. our defense is aggressive, and a lot of people don't see that, but our defense is shut out this year.
7 points in a week one, you know, you'll take a coach in that sense.
Oh my God, the defense is the strength of our team. I'm
yeah.
gonna tell you that right now. We've
yeah.
been going through since spring ball and going in the summer going against our defense, and a lot of the coaches that were new are going, dang, you know, how good are we offensively, because our defense is
yeah.
doing such a great job. You know, it's led by Coach Wilson, you know, Tom Wilson, and the rest of the staff have just killed it,
mm-hmm.
and really bought into what he's brought into the defense and the new concepts we're doing.
You got some good teams to be testing that defense for sure on the schedule as well. You get Kingsburg tomorrow. I'm looking at a game at Grant. When I remember that game last year was just a barn burner back and forth. Yeah. Of course, the track has what it has when it gets to that track play as well. Coach, when you look at the schedule, what is it going to prove or test with this team as you go along in it?
Well, it's gonna test how we respond to adversity, mm-hmm. because like you said, there are great teams out there, and the next great one is Kingsburg tomorrow night.
Yeah,
and we're going to be ready for them, and that's really our focus. But moving forward, just with that question, you just got to be ready for any moment that you have and prepare. Be focused and be ready to play hard for your teammates.
Kingsburg 1-0 coming into this week. Your guys are 1-0. What does this matchup look like, Jamie, in your mind when it comes to facing the Vikings?
Well, it's just got to be – we can't take any game off, no matter who it is, no matter who we play. We got to come out. We got to come out and play.
Yeah. Coach, any thoughts on this Kingsburg game when it comes to it? What Kingsburg presents, from what you saw from week one?
Well, Kingsburg is a well-coached team, and we have to be ready. The main thought for us all week is, because we've had – so many errors in week one, yep. is really fixing those things. It's really been a focus on us. I've told the kids all week, it's not about Kingsburg. As good as Kingsburg is, it's not about Kingsburg. We're playing ourselves right now, yeah. because of what, the things that we need to fix and improve and get better. And so that's what our focus has been about right now. It doesn't matter who's out in front of us. It's about us.
Yep.
See, week one is always that week where it's like, the penalties and the mistakes and all that. It all gets corrected at some point. Coach, do you chalk it up as it's just week one, or how do you handle it sometimes?
It's a lot what you said. It's about experience.
Yeah.
Again, a lot of those kids, at least offensively, didn't get to play last year, and now here comes the bright lights coming on, and them getting used to that opportunity to play, mm-hmm. and experience is huge in high school, and 1 year does matter from year to year in high school level. So, but again, the playing experience, the learning how to practice the right way, it all come together, and Covacese will be just fine.
Yeah. Absolutely, Jamie. For you this season specifically, how are you looking to take it in? You're still just a junior, right? Of course, you're wanting to play at the next level, like you say. So, how are you taking this in this season in terms of where your personal growth can come from when playing?
I'm just taking everything serious because I have a lot to prove this year, and I feel like week one, we need to improve anything. Like we can improve every single game. And I'm not going to be able to show out if we're not all on the same page. And my team, I couldn't have done any of that on Friday without my team. And we just gotta fall out.
And we'll see. 7 o'clock tomorrow. You guys are at Kingsburg. Should be a good one.
Yep.
Coach, anything to add or about Jamie and his play?
Well, Jamie is just going to keep going up and up and up and up. It's just again gaining that experience and understanding an offense that's a little bit different. Even though we're spread and, they were a spread attack last year too, there are little, details that are different, and him learning those details and, again, gaining confidence in all his receivers, which he, already has, but just that, hey, knowing that this kid's going to react this way on this route and gaining that trust. But I just can't tell you how proud I am of Jamie, but also of all those defensive players that, really continue to give us opportunities, time and time again. And, I'm really looking forward to Brandon Cervantes coming off the edge and, Tristan Kircher hitting somebody in the mouth and, just continuing to play hard. And, I'm excited to see it again tomorrow night.
Can't wait. Last thing, Jamie, just real quick, just to let you know, as being a student athlete of the week, we're doing the banquet again this year. We don't know quite the date yet if you're the first one. Okay. So we're going to lock it in at the end of the school year, but you're going to be automatically invited for that. And you automatically become a nominee for our student athlete of the year grand prize as well.
Thank
at the
you.
End of it. So, Save your dates in end of May or early June next year. So hopefully.
Sounds good.
You're not graduating, so you should be fine. A little freer than the others in Love terms it. Of that. But, Jamie, congratulations. Putting that check where? Where are you putting that big, giant check?
Oh, it's going on the wall, 100%. It's going on the wall.
Perfect. Hopefully you can fit in the car on the way out
there. No, we'll be fine. Yeah, we'll be fine.
All right, guys. Good luck tomorrow. Good luck on the rest of the season. Appreciate you coming in.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
All right, we'll be right back with more Behind the Bench right after this on 1430 ESPN Fresno, the Valley's local sports leader.
All right, welcome back to Behind the Bench here on 1430 ESPN Fresno, the Valley's local sports leader. Big thanks to our guests in the previous segment, Jamie Spurgeon, George Petrosans. Getting a little distracted here. George Petrosans, the head coach of Clovis East football. They got a good team. Looking forward to seeing what they're capable of this year. So, big thanks to them. Congrats to Jamie Spurgeon for being our Student Athlete of the Week. If you want your student to be an Athlete of the Week for ESPN, you simply go to our website, ESPNFresno.com. That is where you can nominate some folks. If you got a son, grandson, anybody in sports that you think had a phenomenal performance and they got a 3.0 GPA, simply nominate them at 1430ESPNFresno.com. That is the way to do it. We will get them recognized here on ESPN. We already got some good submissions. We want some more good submissions to come through. So be sure to nominate today. All right. We're reaching the end of the hour. Jorge, I got a little bit of something on the Giants here as I got like 4 minutes left.
I got a little bit of breaking news.
Yes. Are we announcing what you were texting me about earlier?
Yes, 790. Okay. Okay. Here we go.
And here we go.
Hold on. Let me get this right.
Do you got a drum roll? Do we have a drum roll?
Let me see where they put it at. Oh, it's not. Never mind.
This is peak producing.
Okay. Never mind. 790 will be the home of the Grizzlies playoffs for
Grizzlies.
Yeah.
Yes. Grizzlies playoffs, home 790. Now, by the way, Jorge, they haven't clinched yet.
Well, yes. If they do have playoffs.
Barring a catastrophic collapse, the Fresno Grizzlies, who, by the way, their magic number down to 2, which means if they win one and Modesto loses one tonight, that means Fresno Grizzlies will have playoff baseball. Or simply, the Grizzlies just need to win 2 more games out of their next 10. They need to win 2 of their next 10, Jorge, and hope that Modesto doesn't go on like a 10-game win streak.
Yes. Right now, that's just how it is. More details to come once everything gets settled. But, 790 will be the home of the playoffs if it all goes well.
If it all goes well, which I believe it will. It was my guarantee. I made a guarantee to Johnny Bravo a week ago that they would make the playoffs, and I feel good about it. Kevin Fitzer last night, the hero. I was following the game on my phone. Last night, the Giants played a very funny baseball game. Jorge, I showed you the play. Matt Chapman getting a ball thrown off the top of his dome. That's got to be a top 10 hilarious play for me.
Now,
this year.
Is that like an earn, like a, you know, like an RBI? You know, you help him come in,
right?
Who gets the error?
Who gets the error? Is that the right fielder who threw it? Is that an error technically because it hit off the batter's helmet?
Right.
Did you peg the runner?
It has to be, right?
It reminds me of these old kickball days, or even if you maybe you're a little more brutal when you're throwing a ball at someone to call them out, right? When they would be out if you throw a ball at them. But Chapman, who kind of stood there and was like, did that just happen? And the ball really careens to the backstop, and the Giants are ended up getting an extra run out of it and really kind of took it from there. Just a silly play. Silly, crazy, wild play that felt like it would never go for the Giants possible way because the Giants have been playing such poor baseball the last month and a half. But they haven't been lately.
When I saw the game early, I think it was the second or first inning, I was watching it a little bit when they started, and they started losing. They were down by one. So I was like, you know what? It's going to be one of those games where we're close, and at the end of the day, we're going to lose. All of a sudden, I get an alert that says, like, game over. And it's like 12-6. I'm like, what? How did this happen? You know, it was just – it's crazy.
And they get a walk-off today. Jung-Hoo Lee takes care of it. And the Giants have won 5 of 6 against the Milwaukee Brewers and the Chicago Cubs, two teams firmly in the playoffs. Fascinating stuff. Baseball's so weird. Baseball is so weird. And, of course, Jorge, they're going to probably, like, lose 2 or 3 to the Baltimore Orioles this week.
I did not feel like – today it did not feel like the game was out of hands at all. I don't know why.
Yeah.
It felt like we were still in it every time we were down. So it just – I don't know. It felt weird today. And at the end of the day, Jung-Hoo Lee just hit that thing and won the game.
Nice little turn on the inside pitch. Yeah. Willy Adames, he's looking good, man. 2 more homers. He could be that 30-homer guy the Giants have needed for so long, since Barry. They haven't had one since Barry, which is great.
If we would have done this like a week ago, 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, no. All right, we're due for a break, Jorge. Let's take one. 1 hour left. We got it coming up next on 1430 ESPN.
He's got the knowledge.
Because once again, I have to come on there and talk about how right I am once again in anything that it comes to sports.
He's got the questions.
I'm going to lose it. Are you kidding me? What are we doing here?
He's got the guest.
20th head coach in Fresno State history here, Matt. Is it hard to believe sometimes still the 20th head coach here in program history?
It's all moved really quickly here over the course of the last 5-6 weeks, but super excited to be here.
Phil Bonatti is the voice for the Central Valley sports leader. Behind the Bench starts now. Brought to you by Helena Agri.
That's right. Behind the Bench here on 1430 ESPN Fresno, the Valley's local sports leader, here on this one Thursday afternoon. It is August 28th. It is 5:02, soon to be 5:03 on the dot. I'm going to stand here and, hey, hello to the local video viewers and the people who are here in the store who are enjoying the show. Yeah. Get the blood flowing as we finish up our show for one more hour here. Taking it up to 6 o'clock, and then you want to flip over to 790. That's right. It's a one final game of Grizzlies baseball in the regular season. And if you missed our big announcement last hour, literally 10 minutes ago, announced that the Grizzlies will be having their postseason games right here on 790. 790 ESPN, the home of Grizzlies postseason baseball. Obviously, they're a little bit away still from taking care of business completely, locking it in. The Grizzlies will be playing a game tonight. If they win and the Modesto Nuts lose, the Grizzlies will have a playoff spot by tonight. Grizzlies' magic number is 2. But if you want to do the control-your-own-destiny kind of situation, the Grizzlies just need to win 2 more baseball games before their season is up. Just 2. 2 is enough. That's it. And then it's all said and done. Actually, if you want to really get technical with it, it really feels like actually 1 tonight because, from my understanding, the head-to-head between the Grizzlies and the Nuts is in the Grizzlies' favor. So that means the Grizzlies have the head-to-head. Feels like we're pretty much on the cusp of that. But a win tonight, which you can listen to on 790, that is the way to handle it in terms of the Grizzlies tonight. So there you go. Take care of it. Handle it. Business there. We got the Leaves Air Hotline, 559-320-1430, the way to reach us as well. Leaves Air Hotline, 559-320-1430. Of course, we're paying attention to some college football that's starting tonight. College football starting tonight. We'll talk about that in a little bit. But I want to talk about some high school football also coming up as well. A lot of games tonight on the Thursday schedule. So here is a little rundown of what's coming up in tonight's high school schedule in the Central section. Some good games. If you want to look at it here, let's just go through it. South has Independence tonight. That's down in Bakersfield area, I believe. South 0-1, Independence 1-0. Yeah, that's a Bakersfield battle there. Mount Whitney is coming to Justin Garza, so that game will be at Collegian, I believe. Justin Garza playing at 7 p.m. tonight. Justin Garza getting a win earlier this year, beating Mesa Verde 18-12. So they'll be playing on Mount Whitney, who's a school out of Visalia, as you know. Reedley taking on Sunnyside. Reedley a winner last week. Sunnyside licking their wounds after the Madera matchup. Madera got to them pretty good. Sunnyside 0-1. They'll look to get back to the win column. New season for them. Home game, 0-1. You don't want to start 0-2 at home there. Sanger battling Hanford tonight. This is the big one, folks. Sanger and Hanford, the Apaches, heading down to Hanford. Hanford with a loss last week. Checking to see who they lost to. I'm trying to remember that off the top of my head. They lost to Kennedy in overtime. That's right. An overtime loss at home to Kennedy. Kennedy, a really good team. 29-28, the final there. Sanger 1-0. They handled everything against Dinuba. Dinuba beating Dinuba 36-13 last week. So Sanger, Hanford, short week tonight. That'll probably be the game to be at tonight if you're going to go see some high school football. Bakersfield's at Garfield tonight. Pioneer Valley at Gilroy. Shafter at Arvin tonight. Tehachapi is at Bakersfield Christian, and Delano and West is the matchup tonight. So those are your Thursday matchups, some juicy ones, and we'll get into the rest of the week here moving forward. So I have my 5 of 5, and I want to do the 5 best high school games of the week. Probably going to make this a staple towards the tail end of the week here, or at some point when we get the 5 o'clock hour. We will lose my 5 o'clock hour the rest of the year here, by the way, on Thursdays because of Thursday night football. So we switch from the 4 to 6 schedule because of the Giants baseball. We now switch to the 3 to 5 schedule because of Thursday night football, starting with the season opener, the Micah Parsons-less Cowboys going up against the Philadelphia Eagles. So, all right, Jorge, you ready for a little 5 of 5 action? We'll go through this here. You got the sound ready?
1 second, please.
1 second. I will grant you that 1 second. There we go. He's pulling it up now. I can just feel it.
It's time now for Phil's 5 at 5.
There it is. Kill him. All right. Top 5 high school games I got on the bracket today, on the docket this week. And why don't I start? I'll be a company guy. I'll be the company man. And we'll talk about Salinas and Clovis. Salinas and Clovis, the Rodeo Bowl. A lot of juice here, right? Big-time rivalry between two schools that have renewed it from a year ago, looking to bounce back into it. Clovis, of course, got a really good performance last year in this one. 41-14 from my memory last year. Clovis, a 48-0 winner over CVC this week. So Clovis really going on all cylinders here. Very curious to see what they look like, how they will play. Salinas, a team that is looking to have a say in this rivalry. Salinas, a good team. They finished 8-3 last year. This is actually Salinas' first game of the season on the high school schedule for them. So 8-3 last year, they're starting things off. This is the first time they look at playing football this year. So maybe a little fresher than Clovis is, but not by much, I wouldn't say. I wouldn't say much of a difference. But Clovis is going to have a lot of problems to give Salinas in terms of the offensive performance, in terms of defensive side. By the way, Carlos Young, phenomenal game last week. I think I saw he had 2 picks, and then he had some impact on the offensive side as well. So he is a player to watch for me in this game. So Salinas Clovis is my number 5.
Number 5.
Oh, we already did that, though. We already did that, Pete.
My bad. That was just because I didn't put it on in the beginning.
Did I go ahead of the number 5?
You kind of did.
Is that what I did?
But here
oh,
we go.
My bad. I jumped the gun.
Here's your next one.
My bad.
All right. Number 4.
All right, we're just – sorry, I'm a little exhausted from the sack trip. I'll be completely transparent from it. I got home at like 1 a.m. last night. Liberty of Bakersfield and Clovis West at it in my number 4 game this week. I was looking at it as far as how things have – shaped up. That's going to be on a Friday night. That's actually going to be in Bakersfield tomorrow night as well. Clovis East, a tight one against Edison of Huntington Beach. Couldn't get it done on the road last night, or last week, so they're 0-1. Liberty of Bakersfield, dud performances we were looking at as far as the week was concerned. I'm kind of looking at what they were playing. A high-scoring game against Mountain Vista, 49-45. In their road game against Mountain Vista. Not a slouch performance against the team, but it just was a little surprising to see where I was hearing about Liberty of Bakersfield. Couldn't get it done against the team in Colorado, but high-scoring, crazy game for them. Now, I'll get it. They were traveling. They were in Colorado last week. We'll see where they kind of integrate from there. But Clovis West is coming off of this game against Huntington Beach. I think they feel somewhat decent about how much they hung in there, kept it close against a former state champion team. Certainly a lot of talent with it. The battle between the quarterback and what Liberty can. I'll tell you what, if Liberty of Bakersfield's given up 49 points in their first game, I'm very curious to see what quarterback and offense this Clovis West side can do in terms of offense against the Liberty team that seemed to have trouble stopping some good offenses. So a little J.J. Howard action against this Liberty of Bakersfield team. We could see some fireworks going on down there in Bakersfield tomorrow night. That's a 7:30 kickoff. So I'm looking at that as my number four, which is kind of surprising, I feel like, given the rankings I see him at. Number six for Clovis West, number five for Liberty. So curious to see what that'll look like. But there should be a lot of good football there in Bakersfield. It's only number four on my list.
Number three.
We talked to this team earlier today, Clovis East. Clovis East versus Kingsburg. I'm hearing a lot of good things out of Kingsburg in terms of the way they're looking. They got a win last week, a 24-14 victory. Clovis East, a 26-7 victory over Bullard last week as well. These teams, as much as we pay attention to the offenses and the weapons and what they have and who they can bring in and all of those different aspects to it, you want to see a team go at it in terms of physicality and defense. These two teams might be the class of it in terms of that. I, on the flip side of this Liberty Bakersfield Clovis West team game I talked about last time, I want to talk about this game as maybe potentially being more of a defensive struggle. So we'll see. These two teams, a 2-0 start could do a lot for both these teams, especially I think Clovis East. When you look at Clovis East, they got Grant still left on the schedule. They got Sanger left on the schedule. There's still some tough things going for Clovis East. And Kingsburg firmly in where they're at in terms of a playoff position. But I feel like Clovis East, if they don't slip here, this could build momentum moving forward for them in a conversation of, because Clovis East has so much new to everything in their team. Everybody's a different starter this year in terms of Clovis East. So can they stay successful in what they've been able to do from a year ago to this year? Is program continuity or lack of, is the program winning continuity something that can hold true? Clovis East, going to be an interesting game against Kingsburg tomorrow. That one kicking off at 7 p.m. I got number three on my week.
Number two.
I mentioned Sanger because Sanger's coming up for Clovis East. Sanger and Hanford tonight. I like this game a lot. We'll see a lot of offensive fireworks as well. Sanger will see in terms of their run game per how they're going to look. Hanford in the same way. Decent program. Cannon Sanchez, certainly a winner in that aspect. Hanford coming off of that tough loss, like I said before, when they lost in overtime to Kennedy. So the emotion of this game, knowing they need to defend home field, Hanford slipping to 0-2 is going to be a really tough hole for them if they can't get it done against the Sanger team. Feels like it's a pretty comparable opponent to them. You feel like it's going to be close tonight. Like I said, it's going to be a very good ticket tonight in high school football. If you want to go see Sanger, want to go see Hanford tonight, I think it's going to be a phenomenal matchup. Sanger really just, I would say worksman-like in terms of the way they won their game against Dinuba, handled business, took care of it, both sides of the ball. I'm curious to see what Sanger is going to look like when we move forward into some bigger games. Like I said, Sanger going 2-0 and going up against Clovis East next week, that game has a lot of juice to it. But we'll see. I got Sanger Hanford number two.
Number one.
And number one, I'm sticking with the Bengals because they are just the best team right now in the Central section, but they are going up against a team that was on national TV a week ago, and that is against Grant Union out of Sacramento. Grant's going to have a couple of times playing against some teams in the Central section. Like I said, we saw them play against Clovis East a couple weeks or last year. Clovis East still has them this year. And Central East, you know, hearing from what they're talking about, of course they got to be a little bit better on the pre-snap side of things. They were a little bit jumpy when it came to their offense. A lot of false start penalties. Even then, they really handled business against an Inglewood team where I didn't really feel like the game was totally out of hand for them. Really felt like they were in control. They've got a lot of good talent that can make up for the mistakes, but you don't want that to be the reliance for this Central East team. They are going to get exposed if they play like that against this Grant team, who's very, very good. Grant is going to antagonize you. Grant is going to maybe push the limits in terms of after the whistle kind of stuff as well. So Grant is going to be an interesting team to see how this tests against Central East. It's a good week two opponent for Central East when they get ready for those big moments down the stretch of the season if they want to have hopes of being a state title possible team like they were trying to get to last year and came up just short against Edison. Good litmus test for Central East this week. Can't wait to see what that one plays out like. I'm sure we'll have some people out there as well. Central East Grant is my number one team of the week in high school football.
That was Phil's 5-5.
There you go. Jorge, you want to take a crack at who Tranquility's got this week? Did you check the schedule?
Ooh, I don't know. Is it Avenel? Or,
no.
Maybe
it's a team down south, but not quite as south as Bakersfield. Just a little bit before Bakersfield.
McFarland.
Yeah. Mm. McFarland's coming to town.
Nice. Take on Tranquility. Small schools against small schools. I like that.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Avenel, by the way, has got Strathmore tomorrow.
Another small school.
Yeah. A lot of games tomorrow. I'm just kind of like skimming them as far as that's concerned. I know I said my top five, but let's look at some honorable mentions maybe. Let's see if I can find some honorable mentions on here as well. Torres and Madera going at it tomorrow night. St. Joe's is at Edison of Fresno. Edison of Fresno, a winner. Week one winner. So St. Joe's 0-1. We'll see. It's only way up from here for Edison in terms of Edison of Fresno from a year ago. So we'll see how that looks. Let's see. Anything else? I'm looking. San Joaquin Memorial at home against Christian Brothers. Emmanuel's at Kern Valley. Corcoran's hosting Hanford West. Should be an interesting one. Fowler at Fireball. Selma at Fresno High tomorrow night, by the way. What else do we got? Golden West is at Dinuba. I like this Golden West team, by the way. Golden West is a team I would keep tabs on. Lindsay, who was in a state championship a year ago, taking on Morro Bay out of Morro Bay. Carruthers is at Kerman tomorrow night. And Santa Maria's at Hoover. And how about Kennedy? Kennedy, who beat Hanford, they're at Buchanan tomorrow night as well. That'll be an interesting one. Little honorable mention as far as another game is concerned. Kennedy, Buchanan, Bears, tough loss last week in Bakersfield. Feel like the Bears have some sort of juice there too. All right, Jorge, let's take a break and continue this hour next on 1430 ESPN Fresno, the Valley's local sports leader. All All right, welcome back to Behind the Bench here on 1430 ESPN Fresno, the Valley's local sports leader. It is the middle of our 5 o'clock hour, getting you out of here soon. Towards the 10 end of this hour, 6 o'clock is when we sign off and send you to over to 790. Get you over to 790 so you listen to the Grizzly Empire 66ers. All right, Jorge, have you been paying attention to this Boise State game? I'm finally going to give an update on it.
Yes, I have.
You been paying attention?
Mm-hmm.
It's been a wild, wild one. Did you see the fake punt USF pulled off?
I got a message from ESPN
for a touchdown,
saying that I should look at it.
Yeah. Yeah, it is quite simply one of the best I've ever seen from a punter down the sideline. One-on-one guys grabs it and gets the touchdown. And the USF Bulls, part of a 24-7 lead right now, going to the fourth quarter, which boards up. If you thought Boise State would miss Ashton Gentry, they do, because their leading rusher only has 44 yards on 9 carries.
And is that Malik Sherrod?
No, that is Sayer Gaines. He's a freshman for the Boise State Broncos. No, Malik Sherrod is where are we at? Anybody on Malik watch? Because 10 carries for 24 yards. Oh, and by the way, a fumble. Yeah. I sent that to a group chat, and I am not confirming nor denying that I may have sent the tea gif of Kermit the Frog sipping a tea. Jorge.
I mean, look, I don't want him to do bad, right?
It's just like
we feel a little stabbed in the back because he went to Boise State. He could have gone anywhere else, but decided to go Boise State, and it feels kind of weird. It really does.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. I hope his career goes well, and he came around here a couple of times, and he's a good guy, and we like him. But
we had him on the show.
Yeah.
But you've joined the enemy. And that's fine. And I am doing this in just simply the jest that is talking about college sports. It is simply just for that. I'm not personally attacking him. I'm not doing anything. But,
how the tables
maybe
turn.
Things be different. Maybe things be different. But also, I'd be honest with you, looking at the running back room we have here now, I don't know where Malik would have really fit in. So maybe it was advantageous for him to go anyway. So maybe we all shouldn't feel so bitter about Malik Sherrod. But
I just wish he could have chosen another school.
any school other than Boise, man. You know what you're doing there. Hey, no, I'm not going to think about it. That's how you let them win, Jorge.
True.
That's how you let them win. So that's one Mountain West game.
But did you say the score?
Am I seeing a 24-7 South Florida right now. It's the start of the fourth quarter. Appears there was a potential fumble. I'm literally just looking at the first play of the fourth quarter. It now.
I mentioned to you before that this Boise team does not seem like the same team that was there last year. You know, Ashton
barely lost to Oregon, made it all happen. Yeah.
Yeah.
It was a fumble recovered by USF, by the way. So they're continuing their drive. So, yeah. USF could get up 31-7 right now on the Boise State Broncos, which is, like you said, Jorge, it's a far cry from where Boise State was a year ago. And there it is. That is a touchdown. Just saw a touchdown run for the South Florida Bulls. This feels over. 31-7, but I've seen crazy.
I know a lot of polls they had on 25th or like just below that, but I just felt like they weren't the same team. It's a little bit different. Also, let's remember how they started last year, you know, but it's just they pick up momentum and they kept it going, and essentially they went to the playoffs, but I just didn't feel that they had a team that was like all the years they had really good teams. This and last year, except for Ashton Gentry, I think that was the outlier, but you know, I'm just
the only bad news about this. If you're like, I mean, and by the way, I'm talking about threading the thinnest and thinnest of needles that we've ever seen in terms of it. The bad thing about it is that this probably guarantees if Boise loses this one, this probably guarantees that Boise, that the Mountain West is probably not going to be the Group of Five qualifying playoff team if anybody wins this conference. I would say that's not going to play in, because now the American has the upper edge, because the best, maybe potentially USF is the American champ, is probably going to be better ranked than Boise in terms of that. So that's where you got it. So 31-7, South Florida leading over Boise State right now, 13-26 in the fourth quarter of that one. Another Mountain West team is playing right now. You got anything else, Jorge? Or
no, I was just like going to say, it wasn't there. Just because they were losing. It's just the way that they're playing. That's the difference. That's really the difference of it.
And they went up 7-0, and from since then on, it has been all South Florida in this game. All South Florida. By the way, leading receiver for South Florida, last name Nimrod. I love it. Wyoming is playing as well. That's an opponent on the Fresno State schedule as well. And Wyoming has almost nearly at the half a 3-0 lead over Akron. In Akron. There you go. Nice. You know, barn burner there in terms of Akron, Ohio. Wyoming, I don't know what they got. They weren't great last year. I didn't feel really good about them this year. Feels like this is one of those teams that Fresno State can beat for sure. And if you're struggling to score points on Akron, then I think that tells me everything about this team in terms of that. So, Jorge, their quarterback, Anderson, 9 for 20 right now, 97 yards. So we'll see what that got. By the way, a running back up to 82 yards right before the half. So, and then finally, San Diego State's in action tonight. San Diego State, a 19.5-point favorite over Stony Brook, which is an FCS team. So Stony Brook, team they should beat. But if it's any indicator of what Idaho State may have done to UNLV, maybe it's a little squirrely after that. So Stony Brook, San Diego State, that's the wrap-up of the Mountain West schedule for tonight. We got a couple more this weekend. Why don't I just go over the Mountain West slate here, right? Because it's good to pay attention to the conference. It's good to pay attention to the conference. UNLV is in action tomorrow. They got Sam Houston State, UNLV a 9.5-point favorite. Sam Houston played last week, so they're a 1-0. We get our first look at San Jose State tomorrow against Central Michigan. San Jose State, 13.5-point favorite. That feels high, Jorge. I feel like that feels high.
Wait, where are they playing?
Against the Central Michigan they play Central Michigan Chippewas.
That does feel high.
Yeah. You want to guess the spread in Penn State, Nevada Saturday, Jorge?
Is it about 25?
Higher.
Is it on the 40s?
It's there, yeah. You're in the realm.
43.5.
Ooh. Penn State, 40. Would you take the Wolfpack at 43.5?
The Wolfpack wins. I'm going to get some money, that's for sure.
They don't even need to win, Jorge. If you bet Nevada, you just need Penn State to only win by 43, and you are a winner. You are a winner in the eyes of whatever sports book you booked it through. So, there you go.
I might take that bet.
You know, I'm interested in that.
Where are they playing?
Of course they're playing at Penn State. You think Penn State's coming to Reno, Nevada?
Why not?
Nevada? Come on.
They could.
What do you mean, why not? Nobody wants to play on the road anymore. How about Air Force and Bucknell? Where do you think Air Force is? Where do you think their spread is?
Wait, what are they playing?
Bucknell. Out of the Patriot League, I want to say.
Okay, so that might be like an academy or something?
No, Bucknell's like a private school.
Okay.
Let's see. Bucknell Bison, they're out of the Patriot League. Yes, they are.
Private school.
Yeah, they're playing Air Force. They play schools like Cornell and Georgetown and Fordham and Holy Cross.
Right.
Just to name a few. East Coast school coming to Colorado.
Yeah, because, I would say in the 30s.
31. Air Force, yep. A 31-point favorite. How about New Mexico at Michigan? New Mexico getting our spot last year. They go to play Michigan this year in Michigan.
Yeah, but Michigan came from – it was. I felt like it was a little different then. But, hey, Mikey King might get
came
some –
came off the national championship.
Some playing time.
Mikey, you're saying Mikey's getting playing time tomorrow, Saturday?
Why not?
A little Michigan Mikey?
Why not?
A little Michigan Magic Mikey? That'd be interesting. He play a lot better than some other of his teammates right now elsewhere. Michigan, 34.5-point favorite on Saturday over New Mexico.
Okay.
So,
I can see that.
You got UTEP at Utah State. UTEP, by the way, a future Mountain West team, taking on a team that will no longer be in the Mountain West, Utah State. Utah State a 5.5-point favorite against UTEP. And then some intrigue in the tail end of the Saturday games. Hawaii versus Arizona in Arizona. That'll be in Tucson. You want to guess the spread on that, Jorge? Hawaii at Arizona?
It can't be too far off, right? Like in the 20s?
17.5. Yeah, you had a good instinct there. 17.5 for Arizona. In terms of spread.
Okay.
Well, I got one more. Colorado State, Washington. I'd put this game in a little bit of an upset alert situation. Colorado State could be sneaky because I don't really trust Washington a whole lot. Where do you think this spread is?
Ooh, you know, Colorado State did get picked fourth in Mountain West, so I think that might be a close game in the tens, maybe in the single digits, maybe.
Vegas has it at 21.5. I would take Colorado State to cover there. I would take Colorado State to cover a whole lot.
That's some disrespect right there.
I'd take Colorado State to cover. I feel like that'd be great. I'm wondering if I could like build up kind of like a little thing. Hawaii, I don't think they can cover over the 17.5 of Arizona. That feels like a 21-point game for me. I guess Utah State could probably cover with the 5.5. I think Michigan covers with the 34.5. Man, I love that. I imagine just pairing up like a Nevada Colorado State cover with the 43.5. Man, I would love to put some action on the Wolfpack. I do like the Wolfpack, man. I think they're better than people think. I think they were better than last year. Last year's record is to say. So I don't know. Unfortunately, we don't live in a state where I can do anything like this, but one can just simply speculate and have fun with it. Of course, Fresno State, that spread at 1.5 for Georgia Southern right now. Georgia Southern, 1.5-point favorite. I'm trying to remember where the stat I saw. Bulldogs have a winning record as the home underdog, by the way, Jorge. Home underdog, they got an above 500 record, I think, since 2017. So there's that as far as that's concerned.
Okay.
Yeah. By the way, did you see that Fresno State put out a really interesting offer out there in terms of their tickets?
The 70, what is it, $78 or
79? The Bulldog 79. Pass, $74. Yeah. So I'm trying to make sure I got this right because I don't want to miss information here with Fresno State. According to Fresno State here, they got the Bulldog Pass. It's a one-price, unlimited fun. $74 to access to book a ticket for all Fresno State Athletic regular season home games. And 25% off until Saturday's kickoff. So it's like a nice special thing here. So you would do $74 for the unlimited pass, or you could do a family pass, which is $149, which you get to book four tickets to all Fresno State Athletic regular season home games. Choose your own seat, upgrade anytime, or add guest seats. Holds up to two events at a time. Feels like I'm trying to find the catch here, Jorge. I don't know if I'm seeing it.
It looks like a good deal, man. I feel like it's a good deal.
Well, I think it's a good thing for Fresno State, too, because let's be honest, especially at the Save Mart Center when there's empty seats and everything like that, at least you can maybe find some revenue generated there because at least the tickets are being bought and people go, people don't, people don't. I almost see this. It's like a season ticket thing in terms of that. People use them or people lose them, but either way, Fresno State is getting what they want in terms of the revenue there. An old unsold seat versus a sold seat is a lot better there, or at least in the sold seat section as far as that's concerned. So I got a feeling that this is a really good move for the Fresno State Athletic Department. I already have friends who are purchasing the thing. I'm not advertising this in any way. I'm just saying I feel like this is a steal of a deal as anything else out there in terms of that. $149 to take four tickets to any sporting event in Fresno State. Talking basketball, talking baseball, it seems like I got to imagine. Like I said, I'm trying to find the catch, and I can't seem to find it. So it's going to be interesting. That would be interesting, to say the least, in terms of that. But I thought I had one more Fresno State thing before I end this segment. Oh, that's right, the football team. I'm hearing good things at practice. I'm hearing some good things. I was actually talking to someone who was at practice earlier. Bulldogs are getting after it. I'm hearing a lot of things about even them holding each other pretty accountable all this week, to the extent where they're challenging each other in terms of that. I wouldn't say it's conflict, but I would say it's guys are getting into each other a little bit in terms of making sure there's accountability. And sometimes it's good, sometimes it's bad. But right now I feel like in this opportunity, when it's coming off of a loss like this, that the Bulldogs are using their intensity into a sharp focus into what this Georgia Southern team is providing. I know they are so irritated with how Kansas went. Irritated, just like a baby step of what word I'm even trying to say here. But in terms of the onus of what they're looking for into this game on this home opener coming up on Saturday, I get a sense that the attitude has switched from optimism to absolute laser focus in terms of wanting to rectify what they showed, because I know a lot of people out there are sitting there like, man, I don't got much to talk about in terms of this team if that's what they're going to show every week. So good reset button. Can't wait to see it. And I'm hearing a lot of good things in practice in terms of it. So even despite the squirreliness of a lightning storm happening on Tuesday, but they'll go one more time. I think they got like walkthroughs and then, of course, Saturday warm-ups, everything like that. And it'll be an exciting time to see them come down the ramp for the first time this year. So that's what we got. All right, Jorge, let's take a break. Let's wrap up the show next here on 1430 ESPN Fresno, the Valley's local sports leader. All right, welcome back to Behind the Bench here on 1430 ESPN Fresno, the Valley's local sports leader. It is the final little minute of Boise's chances of staying alive here in the South Florida game. I would say we're getting to slim to none situation here for the Broncos. They just got a first down at midfield, but they're down 31-7 with 8 minutes to go. Clock is not their friend, and upset potential here moving forward for Boise State. Might have been possible if we had the old clock rules where you had stuff stopping right after a first down, but no longer that chance. And Boise not looking good in the Florida heat, and it's going to be probably a 0-1 start for the Boise State Broncos. All right, let's talk about what's coming up before we dive into our final topic of the day. Grizzlies baseball coming up tonight. That's right, 6:35 pregame, 6:50 first pitch. Grizzlies can clinch tonight. Really, essentially, I would say with a win. Now, to officially clinch it, I think they need a win and a Modesto loss tonight. Tim Slack's got it all covered for you on this day in this broadcast for you. 6:35 pregame, 6:50 first pitch for the Grizzlies against the Inland Empire 66ers down at Chauncey Ballpark. But also important to say, once they clinch that playoff berth, we can safe to say we will have Grizzlies playoff baseball on 790 in a couple weeks. So it's not the last time you hear Grizzlies baseball, but we are going to have Grizzlies baseball on 790 pending the schedule and pending, if necessary, in terms of their series. So that's what we got for you there. Tomorrow, it's crazy. Got a lot of busy things happening tomorrow. Got Sportsline Bulldog over Tony D. He makes his return after a day off today. Sportsline Bulldog over Tony D, 2 to 3. We'll have my show going from 3 to 5 p.m. Sportsline Bulldog over Tony D, excuse me, behind the bench here for 2 hours before we head on over to Clovis down to La Monica Stadium for our first game over there. We've been there a lot. We're going to be there again. Clovis and Salinas in action. Myself, Paul Metters, Pat Hill on the call. 7 p.m. pregame, 7:30 kickoff for that one there. We'll have a lot of fun. Because of that, we will not air Giants and Orioles tomorrow night. I think that's a given. Giants and Orioles will be back later this weekend. A's and Rangers over on the 790 side. It'll be a 6:30 pregame, 7:05 first pitch for the A's and the Rangers. And then on Saturday, we will have another edition of the Central Valley Sports Report with Paul Metters on 1430, live from First Street Sports. Paul Metters, Central Valley Sports Report there. He'll have a great recap of all the high school action. Giants and Orioles will follow, 3:35 pregame with a 4:15 first pitch from San Francisco. A's and Rangers over on 790 at 6:30 with a 7:05 first pitch. Sunday, it'll be Giants and Orioles at 12:35 with a 1:05 first pitch, and then A's and Rangers 12:30 with a 1:05 first pitch on 790 on Sunday. We'll be back with another edition of Behind the Bench Tuesday. That's right. No shows on Monday. It's Labor Day. So nobody's working, folks. I'm not working. Jorge ain't working. Nobody's going to be here on the show for us on Monday. So
I'll be working.
Enjoy the day off. Oh, yeah. Well,
I'll be working on some beers in my house.
Yeah. There you go. I'll be kind of working. I have a press conference to get to. I do have a press conference for Fresno.
That's right. That's Although right. Yeah.
We gotta recap
Maybe
Georgia Southern
or
in some form or fashion. Yeah. Football stops for no one, Jorge. It's fine. It gets me out of the house. And then Tuesday, we'll be back with our show, Sports on Bulldog Opportunity, 2 to 3. And then it'll be my show from 3 to 5 because the Giants will be in Colorado for a three-game set. Giants and Rockies wrapping up their they would have another series after that. So still some more Rockies-Giants coming up in the September month here. All right. Big shocking trade in the NFL. If I had a nickel for every time a Dallas superstar got traded at the peak of their prime to a different team in a shocking fashion, I would have two nickels, which is not a lot, but it is very strange that it's happened, Jorge. And we see Micah Parsons being shipped off to Green Bay. I had Green Bay as my 11th best team in the NFL as of this moment. I wonder if they move on up into a different stratosphere here. And I may consider putting them right as far as right up there with the Rams, per se, in terms of talent level with this Micah Parsons thing. But do you feel like two firsts and I think it's Kenny Clark, the D-tackle? Is that too much? Is that too much to pay for Micah Parsons, or is it crazy because Micah Parsons is Micah Parsons?
I feel like it's enough. I don't think it's too much. I don't think it's too low. I think it's just about right. But I feel like maybe they would have. Maybe they could have came out with something a little bit more. I don't know. It is your all-star guy. I don't know. This defensive player, was he defensive player of the year? Or was the first state DB, right?
I think he was defensive player of the year. Hold on. Give me a sec.
I remember it was a cowboy, but I can't remember if it was him or the DB. One of them was. But yeah, I mean, anyways.
Why can't I?
He's you know, your superstar in the defense. You could have got, I feel like you could have got a little bit more out of it, but I feel like, I also feel like Jerry Jones just wanted this over before the season started.
He is a defensive rookie of the year. He is not a defensive player of the year. He was a rookie of the year. He was not a defensive player of the year.
It was Fresno State's, what's his name? Why am I blanking his name?
Deron Bland?
Yeah, he was a defensive player of the year, right?
Was he?
Did he
get that? I don't think so.
No? Oh.
I don't.
Maybe I'm confused.
Was he? No, he's just an all-pro and first all-pro. Pro Bowl. That was it. Yeah. All
right.
No, he was a defensive player of the year. I'm like, I didn't think that was the case, but I get the points on both sides. It hurts me a little bit to think about what the Cowboys could do. I saw the joke of the Family Guy meme of like, you could either have this car or you could have the mystery box. You know what I mean? Right.
Always go for the mystery box. Always.
You could always have Micah Parsons or you could have these first round picks that could turn up to be Micah Parsons. Like, well, we could just keep Micah Parsons. Like, but what if we get the first round pick that could become Micah Parsons? You never know. You know what I mean, Jorge? So I get both sides of it. I just found that funny.
It's the mystery of it, right? The mystery of it.
Yeah, the mystery. The mystery. You never know when you're going to draft an all-world, all-pro talent in terms of that. But we'll see. All right. Crazy. Crazy stuff the NFL world is. And we are 7 days away from kickoff. Another reminder, by the way, Major Wager is making its return. We'll have Major Wager in a couple Mondays from now. Monday, September 8th is our first one with the Bears and Vikings going on. By the way, also sign up for a grocery outlet contest. 2 tickets to a Fresno State game. We already gave ours this week away, but next home game you get a chance to win that and $100 gift certificate to your local grocery outlet. So be sure to sign up today on our socials and over at the stores there as well. Exciting stuff here with ESPN Fresno. Follow ESPN Fresno socials as well. All that great stuff. If you miss any of the show, go to 1430ESPNFresno.com. Good show, Jorge. Good show.
Great show.
We'll be back tomorrow for another edition of Behind the Bench at 3 o'clock. See you then.